Step 4, rebellion versus submission. Are we all there? Okay. We live in rebellious times. Many people sit in judgment of those in authority over them, and they submit only when it is convenient, or they do so in the fear of being caught. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us and to submit to governing authorities. Rebelling against God and His established authority leaves us spiritually vulnerable. The only time God permits us to disobey earthly leaders is when they require us to do something morally wrong or attempt to rule outside the realm of their authority. To have a submissive spirit and servant's heart, pray the following prayer aloud.
Dear Heavenly Father, You have said that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft and insubordination, and is as iniquity and idolatry. I know that I have not always been submissive, but instead have rebelled in my heart against You and against those You have placed authority over me, in attitude and in action. Please show me all the ways I have been rebellious. I choose now to adopt a submissive spirit and a servant's heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. It is an act of faith to trust God to work in our lives through less than perfect. It is an act of faith to trust God to work in our lives through less than perfect leaders, but that is what God is asking us to do. Should those in positions of leadership or power abuse their authority and break the laws designed to protect innocent people, you need to seek help from a higher authority. Many states require certain types of abuse to be reported to a governmental agency. If that is your situation, we urge you to get help you need immediately. Don't, however, assume that someone in authority is violating God's word just because he or she is telling you to do something you don't like. God has set up specific lines of authority to protect us and give orders to society. It is the position of authority that we respect. Without governing authorities, every society would be chaos. From the list below, allow the Lord to show you any specific ways you have been rebellious, and use the prayer that follows to confess these sins He brings to mind.
Thank you. So we're going to look at the following areas: civil government, including traffic laws, tax laws, attitude towards government officials, parents, step-parents or illegal guardians, teachers, coaches and school officials, employees, employers, past and present, husband or wife. Ask the Lord if you lack love for your wife, could be fostering a rebellious spirit within her. If so, confess that as a violation of Ephesians. Church leaders, God. For each way in which the Spirit of God brings to your mind that you have been rebellious, use the following prayer to specifically confess that sin. So we have this list going down. As you have been doing, you can tick where you find that you're having an issue. Then you can use that same thing and pray about it through this prayer down here. The prayer is down here.
Guidance concerning ways that you have been, that you may be prideful. We'll do this together. We'll pray the prayer together.
as Nazarites.
Dear Heavenly Father, you have said that pride goes before destruction, and arrogant spirit before stumbling. I confess that I have focused on my own needs and desires, and not others. I have not always denied myself, picked up my cross daily, and followed you. I have relied on my own strength and resources, instead of resting in yours. I have placed my will before yours, and centered my life around myself instead of you. I confess my pride and selfishness, and pray that all the ground gained in my life by the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ would be cancelled. I choose to rely upon the Holy Spirit's power and guidance, so that I will do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, I choose to regard others as more important than myself. I acknowledge you as my Lord, and I confess that apart from you, I can do nothing of lasting significance. Please examine my heart and show me the specific ways I have lived my life in pride. And in the gentle and humble name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Pray through the following list, and then pray the prayer to confess any sins of pride. The Lord brings to mind. If you look through the list there, you can mark where you have had pride, knowing or unknowing, and then you'll go through the prayer as we have done earlier on. Take a time and do that. True, in your life, pray aloud. You can pray whatever you've marked as follows. Lord Jesus, I agree. I have been proud by finding it hard to admit when I am wrong. Thank you for your forgiveness. I choose to humble myself before you and others. I choose to place all my confidence in you and not to put confidence in my flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Step 6. Are we there? Bondage versus freedom. Many times we feel trapped in a vicious cycle of sin, confess, that even seems to end, that never seems to end. We can become very discouraged and end up just giving up and giving in to the sins of the flesh. In order to experience our freedom, we must follow James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We submit to God by confession of sin and repentance, turning away from sin. We resist the devil by rejecting his lies. We must walk in the truth and put on the full armor of God.
Sin that has become a habit often may require help from a trusted brother or sister in Christ. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Sometimes the assurance of 1 John 1:9 is enough. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, confession is not just saying, I am sorry. It is openly admitting, I did it. Whether you need help from other people or just the accountability of walking in the light before God. So we need to pray the following prayer aloud.
Dear Heavenly Father, you have told me to put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. I confess that I have given into fleshly lust and waged war against my soul. I thank you that in Christ my sins are already forgiven, but I have broken your holy law and I have allowed sin to wage war in my body. I come to you now to confess and renounce these sins of the flesh, so that I may be cleansed and set free from bondage of sin. Please reveal to my mind all the sins of the flesh I have committed and the ways I have grieved the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.
The following list contains many sins of the flesh, but a prayerful examination of Mark 7:20 to 23, Galatians 5:19 to 21, Ephesians 4:23 to 31, and other scripture passages will help you to be even more thorough. Look over the list below your book, and the scriptures just listed, and ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind the sins you need to confess. He may reveal others to you as well. For each one, the Lord shows you, pray a prayer of confession in your heart. There is a sample prayer following the list. Note, sexual sins, eating disorders, substance abuse, abortion, suicidal tendencies, and perfectionism will be dealt with later in this step. Further counseling may be necessary to find complete healing and freedom in these other areas. So you take time and go through the table, mark or point out which areas, and then take time and pray. The prayer is below. It is our responsibility not to allow sin to reign or rule in our mortal bodies. We must not use our bodies or another person's body as an instrument of unrighteousness. Sexual immorality is not only a sin against God, but also it is a sin against your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. To find freedom from sexual bondage, begin by praying the following prayer.
Lord Jesus, I have allowed sin to reign in my mortal body. I ask that you bring to my mind every sexual use of my body as an instrument of unrighteousness, so that I can renounce these sexual sins and bring those sinful bondages. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As the Lord brings to your mind every immoral sexual use of your body, whether it was done to you, say rape, incest, sexual molestation, or willingly by you, that is through pornography, masturbation, sexual immorality, renounce every experience as follows.
Actually, it's a prayer. After that paragraph, it's a prayer. So you can put whatever sexual sin in that place, in that gap, as you pray.
Start with pornography. Lord Jesus,
I confess
that I have looked at sexually suggestive and pornographic material for the purpose of stimulating myself sexually. I have attempted to satisfy my lustful desire and polluted my body, soul, and spirit. Thank you for cleansing me and for your forgiveness. I renounce any satanic bonds I have allowed in my life through the unrighteous use of my body and mind. Lord, I commit myself to destroy any object in my possession that I have used for sexual stimulation, and to turn away from all media that are associated with any sexual sin. I commit myself to the renewing of my mind and thinking pure thoughts. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, so that I may not carry out the desires of the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Homosexuality. Lord Jesus, I renounce the lie that you have created anyone else to be homosexual. And I agree that in your word, you clearly forbid homosexual behavior. I choose to accept myself as a child of God, and I thank you that you created me as a man. I renounce all homosexual thoughts, urges, drives, and acts, and I renounce all ways that Satan has used these things to pervert my relationship. I announce that I am free in Christ to relate to the opposite sex and my own sex in the way that you intended. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Abortion. Lord Jesus, I confess that I was not a proper guardian and keeper of the life you entrusted to me. And I confess that I have sinned. Thank you that because of you, of your forgiveness, I can forgive myself. I commit the child to you for all eternity and believe that he or she is in your caring hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Suicidal tendencies. Lord Jesus, I renounce all suicidal thoughts and any attempts I have made to take my own life or in any way injure myself. I renounce the lie that life is hopeless and that I can find peace and freedom by taking my own life. Satan is a thief and comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I choose life in Christ, who said he came to give me life and give it abundantly. I thank you for your forgiveness that allows me to forgive myself. I choose to believe that there is always hope in Christ and that my Heavenly Father loves me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Braveness and perfectionism. Lord Jesus, I renounce the lie that my sense of worth is dependent on my ability to perform. I announce the truth that my identity and my sense of worth are found in whom I am as your child. I renounce seeking the approval and acceptance of other people. And I choose to believe that I am already approved and accepted in Christ Jesus because of his death and resurrection for me. I choose to believe the truth that I have been saved, not by deeds done in righteousness, but according to you, to your mercy. I choose to believe that I am no longer under a curse of the law, because Christ became a curse for me. I receive the free gift of life in Christ and choose to abide in him. I renounce striving in perfection by living under the law. By your grace, Heavenly Father, I choose from this day forward to walk by faith in the power of your Holy Spirit, according to what you have said is true. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Eating disorders or self-mutilation. Lord Jesus, I renounce the lie that my value as a person is dependent on my appearance or performance. I renounce cutting or abusing myself, vomiting, using laxatives, or starving myself as a means of being in control, altering my appearance, or trying to cleanse myself of evil. I announce that only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from sin. I realize that I have been bought with a price, and my body and the temple of the Holy Spirit belongs to God. Therefore, I choose to glorify God in my body. I renounce that the lie that I am evil, or that any part of my body is evil. Thank you that you accept me just the way I am in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Substance abuse. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have misused substance. Alcohol, tobacco, food, prescription, or street drugs. For the purpose of pleasure. To escape reality or to cope with difficult problems. I confess that I have abused my body and programmed my mind in harmful ways. I have quenched the Holy Spirit as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. I renounce any satanic connection or influence in my life through my misuse of food or chemicals. I cast my anxieties on Christ, who loves me. I commit myself to yield no longer to substance abuse,
But instead, I choose to allow the Holy Spirit to direct and empower me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Overcoming fear. The next page, page 19. Overcoming fear. Fear is a God-given natural response when our physical or psychological safety is threatened. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it is the living, by faith and doing what is right in the face of illegitimate fear objects. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the only fear that can overcome all other fears. Irrational fears compel us to live irresponsible lives or prevent us from doing what which is responsible and from being good witnesses. Behind every irrational fear is a lie that must be identified. Allow the Lord to surface any controlling fears in your life and any root lies by praying the following prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have allowed fear to control me and that the lack of faith is sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. I recognize that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. I renounce any spirit of fear operating in my life and ask you to reveal any and all controlling fears in my life and the lies behind them. I desire to live by faith in you and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, this is a list of what relates to what's up here. So you can tick on that fear. There's fear of death, fear of losing, fear of never loving or being loved, fear of Satan, fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, fear of being victimized, fear of rejection by other people, fear of marriage, fear of disapproval, fear of divorce, fear of being homosexual, fear of going crazy, fear of financial problems, fear of pain, illness, fear of never getting married, fear of the future, fear of the death of a loved one, fear of confrontation, fear of being a hopeless case, fear of specific individuals. List them. So you can list them down there. Fear of losing my salvation, fear of not being loved by God, fear of having committed the unpardonable sin, other specific fears that come to mind now.
Analyze your fear. When did you first experience the fear? And what events preceded the first experience? What lies have you been believing that are the basis for the fear? How has the fear kept you from living a responsible life or compromised your witness? Confess any active or passive way that you have allowed fear to control you. Work out a plan of responsible behavior and determine in advance what your response will be or any fear to any fear object. Commit yourself to follow through with your plan. If you do the thing you fear the most, the death of fear is certain. If you sit back and start reflecting on yourself, what are the fears that you still have? Prayerfully take a moment and check through, what are the fears that I still have? Is it fear of losing my loved one?
Is it fear of heights? Is it fear of water? When that is revealed to you, then you take time and renounce them with that prayer below. Faith, you can trust the chair, yet you're not sure whether it's going to throw you down. But you believe that you're going to sit on it and you won't fall. And I know some men, for those who do not have work, at times when you're home, you start imagining, aha, if I go to town, how will I come back? What will I eat? You know, you have all these questions running in your head, you know, and then you fear to take a step. And yet, if you moved out, you'd come back with a cavero of food, or you may even have food. See, so you end up locking yourself. That's what fear does. Keeps you in one confinement, one area that you're isolated from the others. See, so fear is something that you have to renounce today. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And by so identifying the fear and praying this prayer, as you renounce it.
Step 7. Page 20. Curses versus blessings. Step 7. Curses versus blessings. Page 20. Scripture declares that the iniquities of one generation can be visited on the third and the fourth generations. But God's blessings will be poured out on thousands of generations of those who love and obey Him. The iniquities of one generation can adversely affect future ones unless those sins are renounced. And your new spiritual heritage in Christ is claimed. The cycle of abuse and all negative influences can be stopped through genuine repentance. Jesus died for your sins, but that is only appropriated when you choose to believe Him and only experience when you repent. You are not guilty of your ancestors' sins, but because of their sins, you have been affected by their influence. Jesus said that after we have been fully trained, we will be like our teachers. And Peter wrote that you were redeemed from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers. Ask the Lord to reveal your ancestral sins and then renounce them as follows.
Now, I would like to emphasize something right there before we get to the prayer. You are not guilty of your ancestors' sins, but because of their sins, you have been affected by their influence. Amen? Because of their sins, you are affected by their influence. So let's take a moment of time as we pray. Let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, please reveal to my mind all the sins of my ancestors that have passed down through my family line. Since I am a new creation in Christ, I want to experience my freedom from these influences and walk in the new identity as a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, I renounce the sin there. I want to talk about, like in African culture, when someone passes away, I don't know if you guys have realized this. Usually, they say you have to go back and dig on the graveyard. Some people say that you can pray to dead people for blessings. In fact, if business is not going well, usually they say that you have to go back and clean the place. And some people actually even pray to them. I myself, I don't believe that. I don't do that. And it's my prayer that as Christian men, we're not supposed to pray to dead people. For God's sake, dead people are dead. And when they're dead, they are gone. They have nothing to do in this life where we're living. This life is for the living people. So in case, I just brought it up just to remind us. It is in our culture, I think. It's in our culture they say that whenever things are not going right, you have to go back and... I'm not against cleaning the place, but I'm against what people, the way people take it. There's some bit of worship. There's some bit of submission. I see people praying, and this is a grave. Someone is dead. It makes no sense. And I pray that we renounce that. God bless you.
As you renounce all the family sins, I always talk when we're sharing with the men on Tuesday, I tell them it is a good thing to get to know your genealogy. When you get to know your genealogy, you get to understand certain things that you did not know. You may find that your great-grandfather was a witch, which you didn't know. You see, one of your ancestors was a murderer. You get? One was a thief. So those are things that you need to start renouncing. Yeah? So take time as you renounce, pray in line with that, as the Lord reveals to you. Amen?
Amen.
And men, do not forget to renounce polygamy. It is too much in the African setting. Yeah? Polygamy. Take it serious. Polygamy is something you need to renounce. We cannot passively take our place in Christ. We must actively and intentionally choose to submit to God and to resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from us. Complete the final step with the following declaration and prayer.
Declaration. I hear and now reject and disown all the sins of my ancestors as one who has been delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. I declare myself to be free from those harmful influences. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm now alive in Christ. Therefore, I am the recipient of the blessings of God upon my life as I choose to love and obey Him as one who has been crucified, raised with Christ, and who sits with Him in the heavenly places. I renounce any and all satanic attacks and assignments directed against me and my ministry. Every curse placed on me was broken when Christ became a curse for me by dying on the cross. I reject any and every way in which Satan may claim ownership of me. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased me with His own precious blood. I declare myself to be fully and eternally signed over and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have been submitted to God and by His authority. I now resist the devil, and I command every spiritual enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence. I put on the armor of God, and I stand against Satan's temptations, accusations, and deceptions. And from this day forward, I will seek to do only the will of my Heavenly Father.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you as your child, bought out of slavery to sin, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Lord of the universe and the Lord of my life. I submit my body to you as a living and holy sacrifice. May you be glorified through my life and my body. I now ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit I commit myself to the renewing of my mind in order that I may prove that your will is good, acceptable and perfect for me. I desire nothing more than to be like you. I pray, believe, and do all things in the wonderful name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Next page, page 21, maintaining your freedom. It is exciting to experience your freedom in Christ, but what you have gained must be maintained. You have won an important battle, but the war goes on. To maintain your freedom in Christ and grow in grace of God, you must continue renewing your mind according to the truth of God's word. If you become aware of lies that you have been, that you have believed, renounce them and choose the truth. If more painful memories surface, then forgive those who hurt you and renounce any sinful part you played. Many people choose to go through steps again on their own to make sure they have dealt with all their issues. Oftentimes new issues will surface. The process can assist you when you do a regular house cleaning.
It is not uncommon after going through the steps for people to have thoughts such as, nothing has really changed. I am the same person I always was. Or, it didn't work. In most cases, you should just ignore these thoughts. We are not called to dispel the darkness. We are called to turn to the light. You don't get rid of negative thoughts by rebuking everyone. You get rid of them by repenting and choosing the truth.
I encourage you to read the books Victory Over the Darkness and The Bondage Breaker. If you haven't already done so in preparation for going through the steps, the 21-day devotion Walking in Freedom was written for those who have completed the steps. If you want to continue growing in the grace of God, I also suggest the following.
Get rid of or destroy any cult or occult objects in your home. Get involved in a small group ministry where you can be a real person, say the men's ministry, any other ministry in church, and be a part of a church where God's truth is taught with kindness and grace. Read and meditate on the truth of God's word each day. Don't let your mind be passive, especially concerning what you watch and listen to, music or TV. Actively take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Learn to pray by the Spirit. Remember, you are responsible for your mental, spiritual, and physical health. For more information on the letter, read the Biblical Guidance to Alternative Medicine. Walk through the Freedom in City in Christ Bible, a discipleship study Bible that takes you through the sanctifying process 5 days a week for a year, or the daily discipler, a study that takes you through the sanctification process 5 days a week for a year.
Daily prayer and declaration. Please let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and honor you as my Lord and Savior. You are in control of all things. I thank you that you are always with me and will never leave me or forsake me. You are the all-powerful and only wise God. You are kind and loving in all your ways. I love you and thank you that I am united with Christ and spiritually alive in him. I choose not to love the world, all the things in the world, and I crucify the flesh and all its passions. Thank you for life, and I now have in Christ. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can be guided by you and not carry out the desires of the flesh. I declare my total dependence on you, and I take my stand against Satan and all his lying ways. I choose to believe the truth of God's word, despite what my feelings may say. I refuse to be discouraged. You are God of all hope. Nothing is too hard for you. I'm confident that you will supply all my needs as I seek to live according to your word. I thank you that I can be content and live as a responsible life through Christ who strengthened me. I now take my stand against Satan and command him and all his evil spirits to depart from me. I choose to put on the full armor of God so that I may be able to stand firm against all devil's schemes. I submit my body as a living and holy sacrifice to you, and I choose to renew my mind by your living word. By so doing, I will be able to prove that your will is good, acceptable, and perfect for me. In the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.
So when you turn to page 22, we have bedtime prayers. I encourage us that even as we go home, we need to go through this book and pray the prayers. Say them out loud. Okay? You need to hear yourself praying. Amen? You hear yourself praying. So that, you know, at times when you're praying, you get those interruptions. Eh? So that's some of the things you need to get out when you're praying. You just pay attention to yourself as you pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought me into your family and have blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this time of renewal and refreshment through sleep. I accept it as one of your blessings for your children. And I trust you to guide my mind and my body during my sleep. As I have thought before about you and your truth during the day, I choose to let those good thoughts continue in my mind while I sleep. I commit myself to you for your protection against every attempt of Satan and his demons to attack me during sleep. Guard my mind from nightmares. I renounce all fear and cast every anxiety upon you. Lord, I commit myself to you as my rock, my fortress, and my strong tower. May your peace be upon this place of rest. In the strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm in a dozing. Okay, let's stand up. Let's stand up. Who do we serve?
Jesus.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to make a joyful shout to God of Israel. This is not your Bible. This is the word of God. Don't replace it with anything. They mean that these are guidelines, but they mean that we should stop reading our Bibles because we have got this. We should keep on reading our Bibles on a daily basis. I want to encourage us to have personal Bible studies. Don't wait for Sunday morning. Don't wait for Wednesday. Don't wait for Monday men's fellowship, Tuesday men's fellowship to read your Bible. I would like us to always have that culture in us. To read the word of God. It refreshes us. It renews us. It encourages us. It rebukes us. It corrects us. And you know why most Christians are failing? It's because we're not reading God's word. So that's why there are many lies. But once we have the God's word in us, nobody can lie to us. In fact, in our fellowship, we have begun a culture whereby if you say something that's in the Bible, we ask you, where is it? Where is it? Show us, where is it? And you have to show us where it is. If you don't, then that's a lie. You won't take it. All right, let's continue.
prayer for spiritual cleansing of home, apartment, or room. After removing and destroying all objects of false worship, pray this prayer aloud in every room. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. In your sovereign power and love, you have entrusted me with many things. Thank you for this place to live. I claim my home as the place of spiritual safety for me and my family, and ask for your protection from all the attacks of the enemy. As a child of God, raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, I command every evil spirit claiming ground in this place based on the activities of past or present occupants, including me and my family, to leave and never return. I renounce all demonic assignments directed against this place. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to post your holy angels around this place to guard it from any or all attempts of the enemy to enter and disturb your purposes for me and my family. I will thank you, Lord, for doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, we're continuing with the prayers. Prayer for living in a non-Christian environment. I guess we are all in a non-Christian environment, right at home, at work, you know. For those who are working in NGOs that are Christian, praise God. After removing and destroying all objects of false worship in your possession, pray this loud in the place where you live. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the place to live and to be renewed by sleep. I ask you to set aside my room as a place of spiritual safety for me. I renounce any alliance given to false gods or spirits by other occupants. I renounce any claim to this room by Satan based on activities of past or present occupants, including me, on the basis of the possession as a child of God and joint heir with Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. I command all evil spirits to leave this place and never return. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to station your holy angels to protect me while I live here. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Beloved, you are a child of God, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The critical needs are the being needs such as eternal or spiritual life that he has given you and the identity that you have in Christ. In addition, Jesus has met your needs for acceptance, security, and significance. Memorize and meditate on the following truth daily. Read the entire list aloud, morning and evening, for the next few weeks. Think about what you are reading and let the truth of who you are in Christ renew your mind. This is your inheritance in Christ.
Before we get to 23, I would like us to... There's something I notice here. There are many things we've been taking for granted. I would ask a question. Who has ever prayed for their apartment before they get in? If you're moving to a new apartment, has any ever prayed for his or her apartment, his apartment before moving into it?
Yeah.
Good. And that is what you should be doing. Even to the second-hand clothes you buy. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what you should be doing, even to the second-hand items we acquire. Because we do not know what were the intentions of the previous user. Right? So, we need to live a prayerful life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. In Christ, I renounce the lie that I am rejected, unloved, or shameful. In Christ, I am accepted as God says. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one spirit with Him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. Let's do this together.
Yeah, yeah.
I notice we need to do this together.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's start. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord. I am one spirit with Him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint, a holy one. I have been adopted as a child, as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. That is your identity in Christ. Guys, that is your identity in Christ. That is powerful. You are powerful men. Man up. You are powerful men. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right, let's continue. I renounce the lie that I am guilty, unprotected, alone, or abandoned. In Christ, I am secure, God says. I am free from condemnation. I am secure that all things work together for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am confident that good work God has begun in me will be perfected. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm hidden with Christ in God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. I can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. I'm born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, man.
Amen.
God bless you.
I renounce the lie that I am worthless, inadequate, helpless, hopeless. In Christ, I am significant. God says, I am the salt of the earth, the light of the world. I am a branch of the true vine, Jesus, a channel of His life. I have been chosen and appointed by God to bear fruit. I am a personal, spirit-empowered witness of Christ. I am a temple of God. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship, created for good works. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. God bless you.
Amen. We'll just get to the
Q&A.
Last bit where we have the questions and answers. You can, if there are questions, I'm going to request, some of our...
Thank you. I'm called Joseph Ejobi from Entebbe. I have a question on step 7 about curses versus blessings. I request for... You know, there's a scripture which says that Christ became a curse for us. And I don't believe so much in, because I believe that I've been cut off permanently from the influence of the ancestors or my past. But I wanted an explanation about this statement, which you said, you are not guilty of your ancestors' sins, but because of their sins, you have been affected by their influence. How are they influencing me, the ancestors?
I'll give you a story, and this may answer your question. There is a guy in a church nearby. I won't mention the church, so to protect the identity. So this guy, he was a Christian. And one day at church, there were manifestations of demonic attack. He all of a sudden, in almost a church setting like this, started swelling. And, you know, his eyes are almost popping out and just being weird. And obviously the Christians around prayed until he was fine, took hours of prayer. And then he later on told them the story that he was conceived and dedicated to the service of, I think he was supposed to inherit a shrine, was supposed to be a witch doctor, and he didn't even know it. And later on he was given this information, and often he said that Satan would attack in many ways. So, you know, being a Christian does not necessarily mean that you are immune to be attacked. You cannot be possessed, but you can be attacked. So not necessarily that you may inherit the curses of your grandfather, but those are things that may have an influence in your family, and not only you, on other people, all right? So it's not just, I am fine, I have a gun, all right? Even when you have a gun, you know that you have an enemy who is shooting at you. So it's living a constant life of knowing and declaring who you are in Christ, and taking that authority. You don't just do it once. The enemy may attack through a thought today, and tomorrow what will happen? What will happen? He may attack through a what? Somebody else. He may attack through a nightmare. So it's not just, okay, now I have medicine for spiritual warfare, I can eat this, but it's a lifestyle of fighting, right? The sins of your grand... that scripture actually would indicate that if your grandfather sinned, and generations down the line sinned according to what your grandfather sinned, of course the sinful curses are going to be inherited. If your father was a thief and then you introduce him to stealing, you're also going to steal, and then you introduce your child to stealing, you're going to pay penalties down to whoever is going to steal in your family. Alright? That is really the idea of the verse. But the idea that we are getting today is that this fight is continuous. It's not just coming today, knowing these things, and then going home. On your way home, you're going to be attacked. Maybe somebody in the taxi is going to be attacked, and you're not going to run away, right? You're going to stay there and fight. And you're not going to call any of us here. Can you please come and pray over this guy who is... So it's just a lifestyle of fighting and being aware that you're fighting evil. Amen. I hope that helps. Amen.
My question is on step three. It's about forgiveness. You know, there's something I really don't understand about forgiveness. Okay, it's like we are Christians, but I only need to be elaborated more about it, because it's like I have a question about it, you know. Sometimes people say, I've forgiven you, but there's a way how people say, I've forgiven you, but I really don't appreciate when someone is like, when you have a misunderstanding with your boss from the job, and then you get fired, you go back home, then you come back and you do reconciliation with the boss, then the boss say that I've forgiven you, but you don't come back to work, man. I'm like, what's up? Is that forgiving? So, you know, it challenges me a lot. I'm like, if you say you have forgiven me, why don't you let me to continue working? And why do you tell me not to come back? So I have a question about it.
Let me ask you a question. You're a Christian. If you are caught stealing in a bank and you're arrested, what will happen? You're going to face the law, all right? But in Christ you're forgiven. God has forgiven you that sin, but you have to pay the consequence of the sin. So sometimes the consequence is being fired from a job. The boss will say, well, you stole some money. It's okay. You don't even have to refund that money, but you can't work here anymore. You understand? So sometimes there are consequences that we live with. For example, if you father a child out of wedlock, out of adultery, what will happen? That child is going to be around, all right?
Yes.
And each time you see him, you're like, boy, that was my mistake. Not that the child is a mistake, but that was my sinful decision. And the child is, you know what I'm saying? So there are things, there are sins that actually produce so much consequences that we have to live with. Some of it being fired at job. Yeah.
Yeah. I also, maybe to add on what Pastor Zedia said, let's take an example to the two thieves. Jesus in the middle, one on the right and one on the left. This other guy ridiculed Christ and it's like, oh, why can't you come down on the cross and stuff like that? And then the other one says, why are you saying such words? For us, we are criminals. We deserve this. And says to Jesus, but remember me. And Jesus said, you know what? Yes, tonight we'll be together in paradise. But you know what? That guy had to die on the cross. He had to die.
Maybe one statement. We choose to sin, but we don't choose the consequences. So if you make a mistake and you sin, you never choose what? The consequences. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. My name is Willie from Jinja. My question is in page 22 about prayer for cleansing home and apartment or rooms. In the last part of it, where it says, I ask you, Heavenly Father, to post your only angels around this place to guard it from any and all the attempts of the enemy to enter and disturb. I can stop there, but my question is, could you be specific? Who would be this enemy? Since you are born again, assuming maybe you had misunderstanding with your neighbor and you enter in the room, you are praying like some other denomination. They like go and pray that the Lord, I pray that you break the necks of the enemies or you do this and something of the kind. Could you be specific? Who would be this enemy? Is it the devil or the your fellow human being? Thank you.
We have to constantly remember that our faith is a constant battleground, right? We are not necessarily fighting against flesh and blood, like the Bible says, but against principalities, powers of darkness. If you are called, if you have committed your life to Christ and say, I am born again, then a target is immediately pointed on you. The enemy wants to discourage you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take you away from the position that Christ has given you. So we are constantly under demonic attack, constantly. We cannot be naive and say just because we don't see anything happening, therefore nothing is happening. There are principalities of darkness that are fighting against you as a child of God. So you need the Lord's protection constantly. It may not necessarily be your enemy. I mean, your neighbor. Yeah. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. Right. But sometimes even the enemy will use your neighbor. He has allowed the influence of the enemy. He comes, he agitates you. Sometimes he may come with his witchcraft or whatever, or poison, or you know how malicious people can be. But we constantly need protection because we are in a battlefield. We shall never stop being out of this battle until we go to heaven. So don't be naive and think that because you don't see what is happening in the spiritual realm, nothing is happening. My friend, the devil wants you. He wants you. He wants to destroy you every minute, every hour. The Bible says he does not sleep. Your enemy does not sleep, by the way. And who is he fighting? He's fighting against you. But God is there to protect us. And one way he does that is through his angels. Amen.
Just to add on what Kenny said, we have a three-phase enemy. One is obviously Satan. The other is the order of this world. All right? Somebody's going to, I had a call the day before Valentine's, and a friend comes to this church, and her friend was asking her to bring her boyfriend in her room on Valentine's. What is that? That's Valentine's. They want to use her room for sexual immorality, right? That's something you can pray about. I mean, this world order, the movies that you're going to bring in, everything. And the third enemy is obviously our flesh. All right, you may yourself want to do evil in your own house, right? And you need to pray that God protects you from your own self, this flesh that wants to do evil, and yet you know it is dedicated to God. So the world, Satan, obviously, this very body that we live in, always wants to do something evil.
Praise the Lord. I'm Mukisa Pope from Jinja. For me, I will not just ask a question. I'll just appreciate for CCK for what we have done. Past days when we used to be young children, my mother used to go to parties and other funeral functions like that. And most of the time we used to come with rice. You see rice nowadays, it was difficult to be seen or to eat at home. Now when he comes, he said, I've brought rice for you. Then we appreciate and clap our hands. Oh, mom, thank you for coming with rice. So now we are going home. We have really eaten. This is food we have eaten. But we are going home, but our people will ask us, this food is good. Now I'm asking you just a question. Where can we get this for our people who are left at home? Thank you.
We will make photocopies for you, since we do not have the originals, but the copyright was given to us, right? So we'll make that.
Hello, praise God. Amen. I'm Asimwe Temple from this church. My question is on step 4 of the authority. I'm not really a politician, but I like reading news and watching news. Last night there is an incident that happened that still is in my mind. A policeman killed a man on TV in Kasese. He killed a man. I was watching it on TV. Killed straight bullets on, I'm asking myself, for heaven's sake, should I really pray for this? These people are killing people, are murdering people. The corrupt people in the government, should I really pray for them? That's my question.
Yes.
Nick already answered the question. He said, yes, you should continue praying for them, right? In fact, that should cause us to pray more, because we know what's happening, don't we? Where do you live, right? You know what's happening. And that should cause us to pray even more, right? The next is going to be your brother or your sister, or your father, or somebody you know who's dear to you. So just pray that God helps, God intervenes, and He will. God always does. God will intervene. It's discouraging, obviously. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I won't pray for that guy, you know. He's too bad. It's too late for him, right? No hope for his salvation, but we persist. It's called persistence in prayer. God will intervene. We don't know how, but He will. Yeah.
Just a statement. When you start to pray, pray harder.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for that question. I mean, I've been thinking about this, and tomorrow, I'm in Romans 13. I'm going to be teaching about this same thing. So I was reading this, and I was like, what can we do in such a situation? But here's the thing. Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, For there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So, whenever we resist, it's like we are calling judgment upon ourselves. Because God has put those men, the police officers, the law enforcement agents, to enforce law. Now, if we say no, they are going to use their power and authority to make us be in subjection. It's up to us as Christians. Are we going to rebel or are we going to do what the Bible says? God is the one who has put the authority in place, and he's the only one who's going to put down the authority at his right time.
If I may add, earlier in the day, when Pastor West was taking us through the session, he said, you know, let them off the hook, but they will remain on God's hook, right? We are meant to submit to authority as long as they're not asking us to do things that are above their mandate. If you read earlier in the book, it said that you submit to them as long as they are not asking you to do something that is beyond their authority. That is also something, but you need wisdom for that. If he's pointing a gun at you, yeah, what are you going to do? Yes, and also, what was I going to say? I've forgotten what I was going to say. But yes, basically, submit to authority, let us pray for them. Unless they're also asking us to sin, then there is no compromise. They're asking you to sin or to renounce God? Absolutely not. You'd rather say, shoot me and let me go. But we have to pray for them.
You know, when Paul was writing to the Romans, that very book, he was actually in prison. So imagine a guy in prison saying, you pray for my prisoners. You know, he was testing full injustice upon himself, but he would still write, this is our mandate as Christians. You pray for them. They need the Lord more than anybody else. We know that. You know, they are trying to misuse their power, but that authority is given to them by God, and they will be answerable to God. Yeah.
Just a moment. And then we are told to pray for those in authority. Pray for those in authority that it may go well with.
Okay, I just have a quick one. We are told that if you're born again, you can't be possessed. Am I correct? Because you're filled with the Spirit. Why do we pray to be filled with the Spirit continuously and continuously?
I believe because we are human beings, and being humans, we are fallen. Being fallen, we are like broken jerrycans, cannot hold water permanently. We leak, not so. Since we leak, we need to be refilled over and over and over again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
An example to that is when you get thirsty and you have to drink water. Not that one cup you took in the morning won't take you through for life. You have to keep drinking when you get thirsty. That is for the body. But there is for the Spirit.
I would also like to add, think about the Holy Spirit. A lot of the times we think about the Holy Spirit as like a magic charm or some weird being that is floating around, or voodoo, whatever angle you can think of. But think of him as a person. The Holy Spirit is a him, not an it, right? Now, he is very, very, very relational. More relational than you could ever imagine. He loves, he laughs, he feels. He's a being. Don't imagine him to be some kind of concept or idea. Yes? He's a being. The Holy Spirit is a being. Three in one, God. Yes? So, when you have a relationship with a person, it is not a constant relationship. It is not just like, okay, we are friends, that's it. Right? Even when you're married to a lovely woman, you love her and all that, you have to keep rekindling your relationship. There has to be a renewal. There has to be an active seeking of renewing your love for for this person. When you get married in a few months, you'll realize that you have to constantly and intentionally determine to you love your wife every day. Because there'll be days when you won't love her. Right? And I think God also wants that kind of relationship with us. That's why that we're not constantly filled. There has to be a desire, a hunger. We cannot quench the Spirit. Right? We drink Him once and for all and done. No. There has to be a relationship. And a relationship has to be built constantly. There has to be active participation. Our faith is not a faith of just ideas. It's a faith of action. When you love, there has to be action. I love you, Holy Spirit. I want to do your will. What do you want me to do today? I want to go out and win souls for your name. Then you'll say, that is fantastic. I am going to fill you with my power. You're going to go out in boldness. You see the difference? As opposed to him just sitting in there, you even forget he's there, and you do whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm called Simon Peter from Jinja. Let me first take this opportunity to thank the Kampala team for organizing this conference and the invitation that was extended to us. Mine is on step one. That is counterfeit versus real. It talks of renunciation of experiences and beliefs. And below we have a table, non-Christian spiritual checklist. One, it talks of one of the points here, we see martial arts, mysticism. We see superstitions. There's another one. We see yoga. Then below here it says that other non-Christian religions, and we have movies is among them. In our midst here, I'm very sure we've got people who are practicing martial arts. In our midst here, but they're Christians. Then we also have people who are practicing yoga. In our midst here. Now, my question is, if I'm practicing it without necessarily, you know, having the belief that, believing in what is behind it, mine is just basically about physical fitness. Is it wrong? And then movies. I'm very, very sure 90% of the people who are here, we watch secular movies that are not Christian movies. What's the take about that? Thank you.
Physical exercises like martial arts, yoga, their history actually is spiritism. All right, there is spiritism behind it. It's not just the physical act. Now, obviously, I'll give you an example for us to hear. There's a friend of mine who was invited for a yoga practice somewhere in Kabalagala. And one of the requirements to get the fullness of the benefit was to completely walk in naked. That's where he stopped right there. They told him, all right, welcome. Step one, remove everything off you. Are you going to do that? You're not going to do it, right? So there are things that actually have a very spiritual, evil spiritual background. But obviously the physical practice is not evil itself, all right? If I'm going to kick in the air and, you know, for my own personal self-defense, that is okay. But if I'm going to engage into the fullness of whatever it is, the mysticism behind it, then obviously it's going to take you another direction. I mean, there's nothing wrong with running and, you know, boxing and kicking and swinging and, you know, meditating. But yoga is basically meditating about something else, not really the meditation of scriptures. All right? So you can do what? Scripture yoga? And movies. Movies, movies, movies. I'm teaching through Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, there's judgment pronounced against people who do evil and support evil. I personally, you will not find me in a movie theater. You will not. If you go and look for me, you'll not find me. I mean, God pronounced judgment on people who commit evil and people who promote evil. If you're going to watch a movie by all these popular stars, what are you doing? You're basically giving them money. At the end of the day, you are in their 20 million statistics of income because you did watch the movie. And what does that movie do to you? It's going to influence your thinking. I mean, look at, if you watched a series, I'll give you, a friend of mine watched 24, okay, for 23 hours. It was a public holiday. They started from hour 1 to 23. They blacked out on the 23rd hour, and they dreamt they were in the movie. Acting along with Jack Bauer, was it? That was when this person said, you know what, this is not going to help. And these movies are designed to attract your attention. If you start watching series, you're going to watch every single one of them because it increases your curiosity to watch the next one and the next one. And it's costing you money. It's costing you time. It's costing you attention. It's costing you energy. It's filling your brain. And pretty soon it's going to come out. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you live, the way you treat people, it's going to be... Your mind is going to be reoriented into what you see in the movie, and that's what we see on our streets. Don't we see that? And we don't like it. So you have to make a choice. I mean, there is freedom to go. I'm not saying if I see you in a movie theater, I beat you up or you beat me up. There's freedom, but not everything that is there is beneficial to you. Not everything that is permissible is beneficial. So you have to make your choice. Right? I'm not going to make that choice for you. You have to make your choice. I am free to watch a movie, but is it going to be any helpful to me? So I stick to cartoons.
I wanted to say something about martial arts, but you also realize that in brackets they put mysticism, meaning there's a mystical, spiritual connotation. That's if there's a spiritual, mystical connotation to it. There's a guy I know, so many people told me this story, so I imagine that this story is very reliable. There's a guy who was in, by then back in KPC. Amazing martial artist. I used to see him practice I was in Nakasero Primary School, and he practiced in our field. Very good martial artist. But you see, he wasn't satisfied with just defending himself. Most martial arts is for self-defense, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. He wanted to delve more into the world of martial arts. So what does he do? He went to India. When he got to India, by the river Ganges, yes, that is a very spiritual place for the Hindu people. And sometimes the Chinese people take people to the river Ganges to be filled with spirits. So he went there to be filled with a martial arts spirit that would transcend him to another level. And that's what happened. He became insanely fantastic at martial arts. You could not beat this guy. So what happens? A few years later, he decides to give his life to Jesus Christ. But remember what had happened? He had opened his mind to mysticism when he went to the river Ganges. And my friend, casting out that demon from him was trouble. He beat up all the pastors, all the apostles, all the deacons that were praying for him. Some guy tried to escape. The doors shut on their own. Then he also tried to escape, but somehow also God was fighting. They told me that he tried to fly. You know how those kung fu guys jump and fly? Some of you may think, okay, they are using wires and cables. But my friend, when you're possessed, yeah, these guys swear that this guy tried to fly out one of the high windows, and it shut because God wanted his what? His soul that day. And so they finally cast out the demon of martial or mysticism or whatever it was. But he beat these people up terribly, you know. So he transcended to another level. For him, it wasn't just about self-defense. He wanted to transcend to more than what it was actually meant for. Even yoga. If you want to do exercises, do research. You have the internet. Find out what is the history of yoga. Yes, are there any? Can you be a Christian and practice yoga? Are there Christian people who are practicing yoga? Is it safe? What does it entail? Yeah? All that stretching, meditation. Who are you meditating to? We have to do our research. Don't just go in there and say, okay, I mean, everybody is doing it. It's the in thing right now. Let me just go and do it. Now, when it comes to movies, I love movies. I love sci-fi. I love fantasy, adventure, a bit of action here and there. But unfortunately, most of the movies that are being churned out right now are meant to desensitize us. They'll throw a swear word in here. They'll throw in a guy cutting a guy's throat. And you don't, yeah, even nudity. And you're thinking, okay, I love this actor. But he has said changing. Now he's showing more nudity. Or, you know, things are changing. There's a lot of foul language thrown in there. Jack Bauer, whatever. Now, me, I don't believe in secular and Christian. I believe in good and bad. I believe that there's good movies out there, and I believe that there's bad movies out there. So you have to pray for discernment, ask the Holy Spirit. That's why I told you it's a relationship, a constant relationship with God. Ask God to show you what you should take in and not take in. Yes? Look at a movie, do research, say, okay, no, it's X-rated. Why is it X-rated? Why is it above 18? It has nudity. Do you have an issue with pornography? Yes. Okay, stay away from that. Or swear words. Or even murder. A lot of these movies do not represent values that we Christians embrace. And it's painful, you people. It's a task. It is not easy. We are all victims of Hollywood. But we have to constantly ask the Lord to renew our minds and give us a spirit of discernment. Amen?
Paul writes and says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are hopeful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So you should choose those things that will build you up. I personally, I stopped watching movies because they were not building me up. Just wasting what? My time and getting my energy, getting tired. I stopped watching football. You watch football for how many hours? And then some of you become even sports analyzers. For you spend one hour and a half, and then you spend another hour analyzing a game. Somebody's in England, he's in Germany, and you're, what if I use that 1 hour and a half reading my Bible and praying? You know? That is me, it's not you, but Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are hopeful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. As men of God, we have to desire all things that build us up. Amen? Seeing that will build your marriage up, your family up, your church up, look for those things. Because mainly, as Pastor Zed said, most of these movies, they are addictive. You may not be smoking, but you are addicted to series. And you are not better than somebody who smokes weed. No, you are the same. Yes! You watch a movie for 24 hours. And that's what you know? It's the same.
I just remembered something about yoga. The idea of yoga is free your mind. Just free your mind of everything. What does the Bible say? Fill your mind with what? The mind of Christ. So there's almost cannot be a Christian yoga because the idea of yoga is just sit and free your mind. The Bible says we should fill our minds with what? The truth. Any other question? We're supposed to close at 4. It's 4:15, 4:20 actually.
God is good. And all the time. I am called Godfrey or Joke, the so-called Akablack Jesus. I'm a member of this church. My main concern goes mostly direct to my brother Nick. When you talk of the ministries, some groups of people located near you, my main concern goes on. Because, like in Calvary Chapel, I've never heard of, and I've never seen somebody who's a prophet. I can be a person who believes in Bibles. And whenever I see in near my community, those who are holding Bibles, I join them. Assuming, and of course,
it has been going through. They are coming from these churches of which it has prophets who make people prosper. And nowadays, even you can hear, they say what? I forgot always. I cannot remember that word, but it's always with some renowned pastors and prophets in within the city and Uganda. So what should I do? Should I? Because not everyday thing issues is near from this church, near our surrounding. What should I do? Thank you.
I was saying that it's about 4:30 almost, and a number of you travel as far as Lira and Jinja and Entebbe. And if there are some questions that we can talk off the stage personally, so let us pray, close, and if you have any questions, you can talk to us. But we want to let the people who need to travel. So would you please stand up, we pray. Then you will talk to Nick, all right? Nick, you have a question to answer right there. Again, thank you so much for coming and for homecoming, for visiting. Apologies for everything that went wrong. Reminds me that we live in a very imperfect world. But we do this every year. This is our third annual men's conference, and we're going to do it again next year. We're looking forward to that. Looking forward to see you again. And may God richly bless you. May you use this information to bless others in your church, and may you go out and look for fellow men to build up. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for Lord strengthening us today, for reminding us of your authority, of the power that you give us. Thank you so much for who we are in you, your righteousness, your children, your saints, your holiness. And Lord, we want to be aware that the enemy is out there to attack, Lord. And this world system wants to influence us to live under the influence of Satan. And even our own flesh desires sinful things that can give room for more evil. And Lord, we want to just stand in you. We want to stand firm and fight from the victory that we have in you, Lord. The victory that you had on the cross. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all together. And Lord, we want to continue growing and building each other up as men that you've called to serve in different capacities in different places. So I ask that, God, you fill us with your spirit, fill us with your strength, fill us with your courage. And may we go out and be fruitful in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all we say is amen. Thank you so much.